The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Oh, good morning.
Good afternoon.
And good evening, wherever you are on our lovely, lovely planet. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia, and we are here on a radio show called Being Here, which it's all about. It's about being where you are rather than thinking you should be doing something different.
You know a side benefit of being where you are?
You have fun.
That's right. And that brings us to today's show title.
Right. If it's not fun, don't do it. Now, here's the thing. For a lot of us, a lot of things aren't fun.
That's right.
So then we won't be doing anything. But, you know, you're not really doing it if you're not there for what you're doing. If you're busy thinking about what you could be doing, should be doing, would rather be doing, would prefer to be doing, then you're not really where you are. And that is a huge waste of your life.
Absolutissimo.
It's not bad. It's not wrong. But just a waste of your life. Because, see, your life is showing up in the current moment. It's not showing up when you get somewhere else. It's right now. This is it. Sorry.
The best way to have fun in this show is first to know that Shy and I finish each other's sentences, because then you won't be surprised or bothered by it, unless you are.
And then that's up to you.
Not our
problem.
Then the other is about listening. You know, if you listen and really listen.
You know, I can understand people getting annoyed with us.
Why?
Well, we're upbeat.
We're annoyingly upbeat.
Yes, we're annoyingly upbeat. It's like people coming to our workshops, our Monday Night Live in New York, they think people shouldn't be smiling like this all the time.
You know, our acupuncturist came over to our house today to give us a session. I'm still recouping from my shoulder surgery back in May. And she said, "You too. I have the most amazing relationship I've ever seen." I'm like, well, for me, I'm just normal.
Normal.
This is normal.
And normal includes listening.
We listen to each other.
We actually listen to each other. See, most people think they know what their partner's going to say because they've been with them for a while. Now, Ariel and I have been together 31 years, is it now?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
You know, when you say no to how your life is unfolding, life stops being fun. So you can practice including how your life shows up through the skill set of listening on the show, where you listen to hear what's being said from whoever's speaking point of view. And it's not about thinking about what's being said. It's the act of proactively hearing, listening, absorbing what's being said.
Not about thinking whether you agree or disagree or would prefer it to be different.
Or I've already heard it. I haven't heard it. We were listening to our intro today, and we realized that there was a word in there that was different than what we expect. That it was an exciting exploration, I believe,
yes,
into living in the moment. Wow. We've been doing this show for 6 years. Of course, we've heard this hundreds of times, but we were actually listening today, so we heard it again newly.
And your life is showing up newly in each moment. So you can either be here for the adventure of your life, which becomes an adventure if you're here for it. But if you're listening to that internal conversation that we all have, that usually when it's being nice uses your name, if you listen to that as though that is reality and that is the truth, well, then you're forever lost. The, you know, we have this calendar on the wall here. It says September 2013, and there's a quote. It says, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world." Buddha said that, and Buddha was right. You know, I never met the dude, but I'm certain he was right, because people believe what they think is true. And you see, instead of listening, what we mostly do is think about what another person is saying, or ignore them, but to see whether we agree or disagree, rather than actually hearing another person's point of view.
And we're often socialized into not having fun. That's why we loved the quote that we put with today's show description, and you may be listening to this and just listening and not having seen the show description, but we put a quote from Thomas Edison, "I never did a day's work in my life, it was all fun." The guy obviously was fully engaged in whatever it was that he was doing.
We have a caller.
Yes, we do. Let's take her.
Jen? Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Well,
how
afternoon are you? For us now.
How's everything going?
It's brilliant. Everything is brilliant when you're here for it. Life sucks when you don't.
When you're not.
When you're not here for it.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, it's good to hear your voices.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, the idea of having fun, I'm thinking about work and work, because I'm sitting here at work. I'm calling in from Kansas City, and
right.
We've had a lot of things happen here. We had a big layoff about 4 weeks ago, and the remaining of us that have stayed, our work has doubled. And I really love my work. I feel like it's my dream job. I love what I do. I enjoy the people that I'm working with, and so, we have a lot of fun. But because of all the stress and everything that's happened in the last month, you know, the last several weeks, it's been very hard to see the fun through the stress.
Well, that's because you're complaining, Jen.
Okay.
It's that simple. See, you're not just doing your job anymore. You're complaining that you've gotten more work because people were laid off.
Okay.
And it's a little challenging because the fact is you do have more work, and you have the upset of people being laid off, and you have the loss, and you have all that goes with it, and you in fact do have more volume of things to accomplish in the day. But what makes that not fun
is complaining that you have to do it, or disagreeing with what's coming at you like it shouldn't be this way.
Gotcha. Okay.
See, if you are a yes to how your life is showing up, everything's cool. If you're wishing it were different, then you're in trouble. That's the first principle of instantaneous transformation. Anything you say no to becomes more difficult. It persists. It sticks around. It gets stronger, and it dominates your thoughts and your life. So if you resist the extra work that's come your way because of this change in the structure of your workforce, and you say, no, I don't like it, well, then everything slows down. You don't get as much accomplished, and your workload has increased, so now you really feel overwhelmed because you're looking at everything that needs to be done, complaining to yourself as is an inhuman impossibility to get all this done. And so you spend a good portion of your available work time complaining that you got to do it.
Okay. I can see that.
Good. If you can see that, then you can disengage from that process long enough to do your work. And what you might discover is your brilliance. See, what you might discover is you're totally capable of handling so much more than you ever thought you could do.
Wow. Okay.
But it's got to come from being a yes to your life as it's showing up, not resisting it and complaining about it.
The other thing is, I know you are familiar with the concept of surrender versus succumb. Succumb is when you go about doing something begrudgingly. And surrender, in at least the way we define the term for our usage here, is when you go about something as if it's your idea. And I guarantee you, you've not been going about it as if the layoffs were your idea and the extra work was your idea.
Yes. It wasn't.
It was something that's been done to you from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to turn this into something sexy now.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
let's hear it.
But when Ariel and I first got together, we had an agreement that if either one of us wanted sex, the other one would go about it as if it were their idea and they initiated it, like they were the initiating party. And we're together 31 years now, and we still have sex. I'm 72 and Ariel's 55. So, you know, a lot of people dry up a lot sooner because they're arguing that it's not their idea and they go along with the program, and so they victimize themselves with what could be pleasurable. You're victimizing yourself with what could be pleasurable. See,
but
you love your work, so then if you love your work, it should be a pleasure, unless you're saying no.
You know what's interesting, though, Jen, is it really is less about what's happening at work and more about how we've been socialized into a climate of no to change.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really see it with the two of us. We've, round about this time of year, we start booking our hotel space for the following year so that we can plan calendars, we can do brochures, we can let people know what weekends we're doing courses so that at the turn of the year, we have our Monday night set up. And the hotel that we've been at for the last 3 years has just let us know that they're not going to book us anymore, not having anything to do with us, but they're not booking anything out more than a month in advance. It's their new policy. They're under new
management.
That they're trying to book or get people, last-minute people that want to have meetings that include three, you know, hotel rooms, and it's a whole new strategy on their part. So I immediately have a no. I like the place. We like the location. We like the staff. We like the rooms. We are comfortable there. It's all worked out. There is a automatic mechanical no to change.
Right.
And yet every time we've changed,
things have gotten better for us.
But that doesn't mean that I want it. I have to proactively engage as if this shift is my idea.
That's right. And a game for you, Jen, if you choose to play it,
Ms. Phelps,
is to proactively. You know, I don't think people in Europe that listen to this
Mission
show
Impossible
would get that. but the game is to go about your job as though what's going on there is your idea. And
go for it.
And go for it.
Okay. Yes.
The other thing is, you know, we're doing a course called Transformation in the Workplace. It's coming up not too far away now.
21st, 22nd of this month.
Right.
It may or may not work for you to come in. There is no Friday night, makes it a little easier. So I know that's been a challenge sometimes for you coming in from Kansas City.
But
yes.
The thing is, you know, like, if you're having your workplace be anything less than exquisite and that you're looking forward to it, we strongly suggest that you join us. And that goes for everybody who's listening. If your workplace is not a joy and then there's a possibility of transformation. And if you transform it, well, if transformation happens,
then
your
life
workplace
becomes easy.
Right, your workplace will transform along with you.
So that's a personal invitation from us.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, so good to hear your voices. And I didn't realize I was complaining.
That's so great. You see, because we don't normally realize it. The other thing is this. In your office right now, there is a climate of complaint amongst all of your coworkers and colleagues.
So-and-so is let go. That was unfair. I have this work. It's double.
I had enough work to do before they let them go.
It's unfair. And you're mean. Those are the two, you know, as kids grow, they have, like, you're mean and it's not fair. And then we get a little more sophisticated at it, and then we do that at work as well.
Yes.
Look, I'll tell you something. The management would not have let those people go if they didn't have to.
You're right.
It's not that they prefer to just get rid of
people.
They're
like, let's just axe people. That sounds like fun.
Let's just axe people, and we'll give everybody else twice as much to do.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Don't you think so, Jen?
Gotcha.
You know, like we tend to personalize everything like it's an affront to us.
Yes.
So glad you called in today. Really.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is complaints are communicable, but transformation is a communicable ease. If you go about your day with enthusiasm, it can catch on.
And the game is not to engage in the complaints, the griping, the gossiping of others, but do your job. If you just do what's in front of you to do, you'll feel better, you'll get more done, everything will work out. If you get lost in the conversation about whether you want to or not, it will not work out well. It'll work out, but
you won't have fun.
And yes, you won't have fun.
Awesome. Well, I want to have fun, so.
Awesome. Excellent.
Yes.
Thanks for calling today.
Yes,
thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. We must go to a break, but we'll be back shortly, so come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com. Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
If You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
You know, Shia mentioned it as we were speaking with Jen, just to underline the info. We're doing the Transformation in the Workplace Seminar in New York City the weekend of September 21st and 22nd, and you're invited. It's going to be a wonderful week. People coming in from out of the country and from in the area and from far away, so wherever you are most welcome, and we invite you.
And you can find out all about it on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com.
Recently, we've been talking about the Premium Excellence Club. We realize that some of you who listen regularly might be really interested in adding the video component. And for a little more than a coffee and a treat each week, you can have a video of us having a conversation with someone in your inbox, as well as the opportunity to write us questions, which we answer, special articles. It's the Premium Excellence Club. That's also on our website. A shout-out to Victoria, who was talking about how much watching one of the, actually reading our article of the month, how it transformed her life in an instant. And people actually went out and signed up for the Premium Excellence Club out of that. So good for you for sharing it. We have another caller. Let's take her, shall we?
Sure. Dagmar, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
How's married life?
It's great to hear your voices.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not sure you heard Shia's question.
I'm sorry, I didn't. The line was, I don't know. It was cracking up a little.
I said, how's married life?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful, yes.
Have you started back teaching yet?
Yes. Actually, we are back at it for, I think, 3-4 weeks now.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Wow, you guys start earlier than they do in the States. They're just going back, like, now. So.
Well, this year it was particularly early. Our summer holidays wander around a little bit, and this year they have been probably the earliest ever. So next year they'll go back by a month, so we'll have a really long school year. Yeah, right now, that's, yeah. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Because I love the motto of the show, if it's not fun, don't do it. It's just, I don't know, the fun component in there is just so, I don't know, that really speaks to me. But when I look at work, it's like, does that mean that I have to like all tasks equally?
Was that
Does that mean you have to like all tasks equally? Not initially. But if you fully engage, the answer is yes.
See, here's the thing. The content of what you do really doesn't matter very much. Look, how long have we known you, Dagmar?
2.5 years, something like that.
2.5 years. And you're a teacher, yes?
Yes.
And you were a teacher 2.5 years ago?
Yes.
And you were a teacher 5 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your experience of teaching today as opposed to 5 years ago, is it different?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay. Now, you see, 5 years ago, you complained a lot about everything you had to do whilst teaching. You were waiting for your day to be over.
That's right.
That's right. I mean, you know, you forget it because things have gotten much easier for you. You know, then you met us, you did a few workshops with us, and you started to really be there when you were teaching, and it suddenly became more fun, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
More fulfilling, more rewarding, more satisfying.
Yes.
And you see, that's because you stopped judging what you were doing, and you were actually there doing it.
Yeah.
You know, just before the show, I started washing some windows around the house. I started washing car windows. We got ourselves a squeegee and a scrub thing and a wash kit for professional window washers. And now I'm a professional window washer around my own house. And
cool.
There's a couple of windows that I'm looking at that I still have to get to, but I've gotten to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Washing windows didn't used to be one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm washing windows, that's what I'm doing. And it becomes satisfying and fun and fulfilling because I'm there while I'm doing it. I'm not trying to get it over with. I'm trying to get my windows clean.
Huh. And in a certain respect, if you break it down a little bit, he's not trying to get his windows clean. He's there with whatever piece of the window or the spot or that he's scrubbing. It's like not trying to get the windows, like all the windows done. It's about being with whatever activity he's doing.
Taking place in that moment.
Mm.
See, so in that moment, so yes. And, you know, last week, I think it was, that I was using a power washer to wash the decks behind our house to get
mm-hmm.
the tree growth, you know, the moss and stuff that grows
yeah.
in the shadows, to get that off the deck. And that became an amazing experience.
So tell us, give us two extremes. Your question must be born from an activity at work that you prefer and one that you don't prefer.
Yes.
So
well, what I really enjoy doing is the actual teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And what I somehow do not prefer quite so much is grading papers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But you know,
yeah, and I mean,
you remind me of an actor who
okay.
loves it when they're on stage or in front of the camera, but they don't like doing the business work or the auditions or the getting the
uh-huh.
resume out or
learning the lines.
Yeah.
Everything that goes around the, quote, performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, if you get excited allow yourself to get excited about the other pieces, you're going to be a better teacher, actually, when you're sitting in the classroom. In fact, I bet you it hasn't occurred to you to employ your wider intuitive senses senses whilst grading papers.
Hmm.
Meaning,
no, that's right. That
when
has
you
not
touch
occurred
the
to me.
Paper that a child has written, and you look how their penmanship is, you look how they went about doing it, you look about, you could tell whether they're distracted, their well-being's happening.
Or you see, and rather than think about it, Dagmar, you can mm-hmm. see what you see, sense or feel about it, you know, not what you think, not through your logic system, but you can
mm-hmm.
let your intuition, your natural
mm-hmm.
knowing, give you clues about how to assist that child in being a better learner.
Wow.
The other thing, well, I had it and lost it, so I'm not going back.
You know, when we do the Transformation in the Workplace course, we do online questionnaires. And so, in fact, it's similar to grading papers, although we're not giving people a pass-fail. We're going through to see
what they're want out of the course, what their job difficulties are, what they're
mm-hmm.
happy with, what they're not happy with.
But for us, really, what tends to be as useful as the information they're giving us is to look and see, read between the lines, see what's not being said or how
yeah.
it's being said
or how they
approach it.
Or how we feel when we read it. Oh, yeah, I remember what I wanted to say to you. See, the other thing is this. You become an example to your children of what's possible. And that happens when you are fully engaged. So you can either teach them to be complaining about their homework because they got to do it.
And trying to get it over with and trying to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or you can be an example of what it's like to embrace your life as it's showing up.
Wow, that's such a great idea.
Yeah, I know. Most of us don't think of that because we think about whether we want to or don't want to, or like what we got to do or don't like what we got to do. And so we're lost in that conversation rather than seeing the bigger picture that how you are anywhere is how you are everywhere. So if you're complaining about your preferences, that you don't want to do the grading of papers or whatever, then that reflects in other aspects of your life, and you're just not aware of it. But children are these sponges that absorb your very essence.
Yeah.
They know when you're doing well. They know when you're not.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
One of the,
I never link those two things. You know, of course, I always expect them to do their homework perfectly, and yet there I am, you know, grading papers kind of grudgingly, and yeah, wow, that's a neat idea.
It would be interesting to see what effect going about things non-begrudgingly but wholeheartedly has on the temper and the tempo of your whole classroom. You know, one of the things that happens for me that's similar in a certain respect to you, because you always teach something and then what comes back are things that you need to grade in order to see whether or not your teaching went across. For me, we have emails, and I'm the email handler in our department. And one of the things that happens is there's an endless supply of them.
They keep coming. Okay.
They keep coming. I can clear that inbox, but they will keep coming, and that's part of having a healthy business. And I can do things to delegate things, and all that's fine. But what I find for myself is to pay attention to how I'm approaching emails. If they're like a emails, then that's clue to me that there's something off balance in me. It has nothing to do with the emails.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How you approach your life is what makes the difference. You actually, I think, I can't remember if you wrote something about it or told us about it. The difference that happened after you did a weekend with us in Hamburg and you went back in and actually listened to your students, how different it was.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember that. That was, and I see the effects of you know, listening to my students and being there and all of that. Like my sense of teaching and how much I enjoy my job has changed so much since I met you. I mean, really, I've always kind of liked it, but now, you know, there's so much more fun in it. There really is. But this opens up whole new fun possibilities in a way because
it really does. It really opens up new vistas for you because, see, the thing is this. The thoughts in our heads are so normal to us, and we follow them as though they're true and they're real, and that those thoughts set up our life. And like I said to Jen earlier when she called in, she operates in a climate of complaint, and she doesn't realize that. You also operate in a climate that's based in complaining about having to do the test grading and the homework assignments.
I'm sure you're not the only teacher in your school who has developed that opinion about test grading.
Oh, no, we're actually, it's like part of me wants to hold on to the right to whine, you know, like part of me, or maybe that's just my thoughts that think it's part of the group process of that we just have to complain about that together. You know, it kind of knits us together.
Yeah, how would you be social, and how would you be part if you didn't whine?
And here's the thing. Reality is a function of agreement, and agreement alone. When enough people agree to something, it becomes reality. And you are in a reality that's based in the agreement of the other teachers and the administrators at your school.
Yeah.
And the children by proxy. They pick it up, and then the whole place is not a place of enthusiastic investigation into life.
Mm.
A place of it would be better if we could be doing something else right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the first one, you know, enthusiastic engagement in life and discovering that which has always been there, but we haven't seen because we've been preoccupied.
You know, it's kind of neat, actually, now that we're sitting here and the file Dagmar opens and I have at least some trace memory of who you were before.
Okay.
That's, you know, if we roll back in time, it was before you were married. It's before you lost how many kilos?
Oh, 20, about that, 22.
About 20 kilos. So for those of you in the U.S. who can't, that's about 45 pounds. It was back in that time frame, you found the kids in your classroom annoying.
Yeah.
You didn't adore teaching the way, you didn't look forward to it the way you do now. You just haven't taken a moment before today to turn your attention and your awareness, your non-judgmental seeing, to how you've gone about grading papers. And it absolutely can be instantaneous transformation.
And, you know, you don't have to do anything different. The game is not to change anything. That's the difference between transformation and change.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. We didn't talk about we talked a little bit about the three principles. We talked about the first one. The second one is life shows up exactly as it does in each moment. Now, if you're aware of it, you come to the third principle, which is a non-judgmental seeing allows for things to complete themselves. So you've had the habit of complaining about having to grade papers. Well, if you don't make yourself wrong for that, and if you don't make a resolution to not do that anymore, which is really a decision based in the past going forward in time, but just allow yourself to see your own resistance to grading papers, that will dissolve in the seeing of it if you're not trying to get rid of it and not judging it.
And it's also then becomes simply an indicator that you're not yet fully involved, you're not fully engaged, you're kind of in the gap between thinking you should do it and actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I know you like teaching now, but come May you're not going to. I heard it in your voice. You already are prepared it's an extra long school year to feel tired, drug out, upset,
and
overworked, too long and complaining.
Yeah, but you see, that's part of what's going on in your school system right now. The other teachers are looking at next summer, because nobody's in the current moment of their life. They're all off in next summer's vacation, and it's so long away.
Yeah,
Christmas can't get here soon enough, you know? I mean, like, when's the next break?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't... Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. That's
wonderful.
Yeah, but
you know what's cool about that? We all internalize things we've heard, things we have been said in our environment. They click in, and then it's like, aha, when, you know, when that comes down the pike, May comes around, it starts to bloom. It's like a weed that's been planted in your garden, and it just takes some time to sprout.
Wow, that's fascinating, because, I mean, everything you just said is so true, because everybody is already complaining about this year being so much longer and worrying about, like, now worrying about how we will survive those extra 4 weeks tacked on to the end of the...
I love it.
And you know what? Maybe it'll finally be easier because you guys will be in the groove of teaching and they'll be in the groove of learning and you'll get so much more done this year that next year will be set up.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to get it over with.
You know, the funny thing is usually we complain about the second half, like the second semester being shorter because there are all of these... like extra holidays of Ascension Day and Pentecost and all of those long weekends and Easter, you know. So everybody is complaining about not getting anything done in the second semester. Now we're all complaining that it's too long. It's just
perfect.
Wow.
You know, can you come back with us after the break?
Oh, sure.
Excellent, because we have to take one. We have something great to say about that. We'll be back right after the break.
So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, The Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Cane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. For those of you in the European arena, if you want to make a shorter trip than to New York, we are coming
to Hamburg.
Yes, October. We're going to be there October 3rd for the Freedom to Breathe,
which is an amazing cause that takes you into the moment through your breathing and outside of your thought processes. So it's not intellectual, it's experiential.
Love it. And then we're doing the Art of Listening on the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And if you want to know more about that, of course, TransformationMadeEasy.com. And you'll find that under our schedule, and you're invited. Still with us, Dagmar?
Yes, I'm still here.
So you were talking about how last year and previous years, you guys were complaining that the second half of the year was too short because you had all of these extra holidays. How could you possibly teach everything you need in that time frame? Now it's too long.
So they've given you the extra time you need to teach the people they say you wanted to teach them, and it's wrong because it's longer. See, there's never if you live your life in a context of complaint, there's only complaint. The circumstances don't matter whether they're good or bad. They'll still fall into your complaining about it.
You can think of it like a sausage machine or a Wurst machine where the casing holds the sausage. So you grind up the circumstances of your life and you encase it in a sausage. And the sausage in this case is one of complaint.
Now, you can change the circumstances so you use turkey instead of beef.
But it's still a complaint sausage.
It's still a complaint sausage.
So,
I like that image.
I do, too. Oh. And I'll tell you something else. And what I want to go back and underline something Shia said in the last segment, because people often miss this part. He was talking about you don't have to resolve to be better. You don't have to be determined to do it differently. It's really about getting interested in how you're going about things without judging what you see, and then everything takes care of itself.
Yeah, that's the really wonderful part, because it's not hard work and it's not putting effort into it and being all, you know,
it does take a degree of commitment to being there and seeing how you're operating rather than flying with blinders on.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, the thing is this, most of us think we're going to find something bad out about ourselves. The really amazing thing is we find out how great we are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes. One more thing before we take our next caller. I want to go back and underline something that you said in the last segment, because I think it's so important in this entire conversation for anybody who's interested in having fun. And that is the reluctance to give up your right to whine.
Mm-hmm.
In that we yeah. want to not only have the right to do that, we want to be right that life is unfair or this circumstance is difficult. And when we are determined to be right about that,
we get to be right, but the cost is our sense of well-being, our sense of aliveness, we're just the complaint then, you know, just the whine.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling today, Dagmar. Really, really
yeah,
a treat
really.
To speak
thank
with you.
You're great.
Thank you so much. That was just an inspiration, as always, and I'm so looking forward to grading the next paper.
Awesome.
Good.
Well, I tell you what, don't look forward to grading the next paper. Get interested in whatever, unless you're happy as soon as you put down the phone, if you're grading.
No, but I'm actually constructing the paper. Like, I'm putting it together. They're writing it on Monday. So I'm kind of preparing the thing right now.
Yeah, perfect. Do the preparation work as though it's your idea and have fun.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, we have another caller from Germany.
Stephanie.
Hi, here's Stephanie from Hamburg, Germany.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello?
How are you this evening?
Oh, now I'm really good listening to your show, and you say such beautiful things, everybody, and wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah. Yesterday a friend called me at work. I'm an accountant, and asked me some questions, and then she said, Stephanie, how are you? You sound stressed. And then I realized that I'm losing the fun factor at work, and I stress myself, and it just feels normal, and I don't realize that I'm not having fun anymore.
Well, actually, that's not quite true, because you're telling us that you realize that you're not having fun anymore.
And the other thing is you had fun on this call, right?
Oh, yes, a lot.
So that could be the beginning of a shift at work. But have you been listening to the show since the beginning?
Yes.
I have a feeling that part of what's going on with you, Stephanie, is something we were speaking with Jen about, where you have the idea that it's too much work, that you have too much to do, and that you need to get it done, get it over with, and move on to the next thing.
Yes. That's true. It doesn't matter how much I work. I always think I should have done more.
So that for certain will erode your fun. That happens when you're trying to get somewhere, get it done, get it over with. That's the first thing. And there was something else when we were talking with Dagmar, and I know it's really super esoteric, but
we like super.
I know. I guarantee you that whilst this not having fun or getting yourself stressed at work is a through line that follows you around in your life, that there are certain clients where it's more acute and ones that are less.
And we're not suggesting that you get rid of clients that you are stressed around.
We're talking about discovering your interactions in a way that you can compensate for walking into a more stressful environment.
Oh, yes, please.
Because if you walk into somebody whose business is more under stress and you're working on their accounting, their way of being can translate to you.
And you'll feel it. It will affect you. But if you realize that it's not you, then you can, you're actually taking their temperature. You're like a doctor or a nurse, taking temperature of the business by how you feel when you're there.
You know, that's so true. Because in some businesses, I have to call people who have not paid their bills.
Yes.
And that are also very often very upset people or people under pressure. And then
Absolutely.
They lie to me or tell stories.
Well, they have to be under pressure, under stress, if they haven't paid their bills.
Yeah.
And you see, here's the thing. You've been working with us for quite a while now, and you've learned that lying doesn't work.
Yes.
See, most people lie. There's a word called with impunity,
like it doesn't matter.
Like it doesn't matter. Like it's so normal to most people to lie when they are in an uncomfortable circumstance that they just don't even think about it. It happens automatically almost. And, you know, when people aren't paying their bills, they will lie to you as to, oh, I sent it.
Or they'll lie to themselves about why they didn't, or they'll lie to themselves that, well, I didn't because...
So you're used to being around people who are being honest, because that's one of the tenets, if you will, of transformation, is it happens in a state of honesty where you're honestly saying what you see or seeing what you're doing without judging yourself for it, but just and not defending yourself. But most people are constantly defending themselves.
Yes, they do. Even if there's no need to.
Even if there's no need to, yes. But you see, we grow up in a world that's not user-friendly to human beings.
Yeah.
And yes, you've got transformation in your life, so there's a possibility of being honest. But, you know, honesty doesn't have attitude.
Yes.
So if you need to speak to somebody about what they have or haven't done that they said they were going to do, you can either do it with attitude or without attitude. If you do it without attitude, they'll hear what you say. If you do it with attitude, by that I mean you make them wrong for how they've been, they will not want to hear it.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I stay centered and relaxed and friendly but straight. And sometimes I really get pissed and...
Well, that's the thing.
But I think the pissed sometimes is requested so that they can disregard what you have to say.
Right. So you give away your power by getting pissed. You lose your credibility by getting pissed.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't work for you. You know, if you notice you're getting pissed, then step back. Don't engage in that. And look, I know that adrenaline rush you get from getting pissed seems to allow you to communicate better.
Yeah.
It's also your heritage. You know, that is something you grew up with. It's familiar. It equals love, security, but it does make things a mess.
Yes. And it doesn't feel good afterwards. I don't feel good.
Yes.
True. That doesn't mean that you don't somehow feel a little good at the time because you feel justified.
Inventing your anger or upset as though they caused that, but they didn't.
Yeah. I'm so right.
That's right. When you get to be right, you should be very careful when you're being right because it's going to have repercussions, ramifications, consequences.
By the way, you're only determined to be right when you're already upset.
Ah.
One other thing. I know that you recently went on vacation, and it was your birthday.
Yes.
And you got lots of lovely birthday wishes, and your boyfriend took you, and you did things. And sometimes we're like, we don't deserve this much. And so then we go make a mess elsewhere to
compensate. To balance things out.
There's almost an idea that if you have good times, you have to pay for them in a negative way. So lots of times people, they won't even let themselves go for a walk in the park. They don't truly let work go, or they have the idea that if I really step away when I get back, things are going to be very difficult. As opposed to when you step away, when you come back, you're totally re-energized and you can get things done.
If you were to fully engage in being with what you're up to and let go of the business when you're gone. So you leave work alone when you're not at work, and you'll be more able and capable and rested to, when you come back to work, be more effective.
Aw, my boyfriend will like that, and my clients too.
And more importantly, you will like that, because you are the center of your own universe, and then everything radiates out from that.
Cool.
Hey, thanks
cool.
for calling in today.
Yeah,
thank you.
For calling in
thank
today.
Thank you so
really?
Much.
Yeah, very
yeah.
cool.
Look forward to seeing you in Hamburg in August.
October.
October.
But I tell you, I'm very tempted to come to the Transformation in the Workplace seminar.
Well, we'd love to have you if you can make it.
I would follow that temptation personally.
I will check out flights right after this call.
Excellent.
Good. Do that.
Yes. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Bye. Well, we need to go, but we'll be back next week. The show next week is Healing the Great Divide, about, you know, if you're ever feeling divided or distracted, like you're in the midst of something, think you should be doing something else. So you can join us next week. Come on back.
And don't miss
Being Here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.